I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think.
Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you.
But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Every year we get to talk Illinois, Iowa. David Eicholt and I, Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, we decide to do just a little bit of a crossover. We play on both our podcasts, the Swarmcast for you Iowa fans and the Illini Inquirer podcast here for Illinois fans. And David, for the first time in a long time, basketball, we've been expecting to be great competitive games, and boy, yep, those have been awesome. Now the rivalry can actually translate to the football field, where, you know, Illinois, the last two first quarters against Iowa's looked pretty good, but just couldn't withstand it.
Yeah.
Here you go, an upstart Illinois team playing against a so far disappointing Iowa team because of one side of the ball. This is a monster game for Illinois. This is like an arrival moment for Illinois. If they go to 5-1, they'll probably be ranked. And then they'd probably have control of the Big Ten West, at least for a week, going into Minnesota. This is a huge, huge game for Illinois. What's this one mean for Iowa?
I think this is the biggest game of the season for Iowa. I mean, you look at who they have coming up. Obviously, there's a bye week next week. But, Jeremy, they're going up against Ohio State at Ohio State the following week. And you're not going to win the Big Ten West if you start out 3-4. I get Iowa's back half the schedule against Minnesota, you know, Northwestern, Nebraska, Wisconsin, but this is a must win. I just think you feel so much better about being 4-3 than 3-4 going to the back half of the schedule. But yeah, I mean, they're riding an 8-game winning streak against Illinois right now, but you know, this isn't like my college days Illinois football team. Like, this is a very legitimate Illinois football team. I know you and I have talked off the record quite a bit about, you know, I think Chase Brown's been one of the more underrated backs nationally for the past couple of seasons. I think he's been tremendous for them. And I think an underrated selling point for, you know, talking point for this game is this is Bielema's first game coaching against Iowa. Cause remember last year he wasn't in attendance cause he got COVID. And I feel like people are brushing it under the rug. This one's going to mean a little bit extra to Bielema. And, you know, even going beyond the football field, I think if Iowa wants to continue getting some of those talented players out of the state of Illinois, they got to continue to beat that program. And I think it's a big opportunity for the Illini to beat Iowa and say, hey, look, the tides are turning. We want to, you know, protect our home state. And I think that's been something that's made Illinois a quicker trajectory, upward trajectory than the last regime is. I think Bielema's done a tremendous job of putting his focus on in-state recruiting. And that's something they haven't done for the past few years.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see Illinois actually be competitive in battles with Iowa, getting Aiden Lawfrey, Ian Pugh, though Jacob Bostic and Ian Pugh were basically one picks one, the other one picks the other. But, you know, Brian Allen, you know, Iowa was able to kind of steal him. It's been a fun rivalry in recruiting, but Illinois wants to be Iowa. Like, that's no secret. Yeah. They want the success that Iowa has, the sustained success. And I understand Iowa fans, you know, Big Ten championships is kind of the goal. Eventually getting in the college football playoff, they can have that goal. Illinois just wants, at least at this point, to be able to be in competition for a Big Ten West title. And they have a wide open door right now, given Iowa, Wisconsin being down, Northwestern being down. So like Minnesota, Purdue, and Illinois, this is a huge moment. As long as they have divisions, which might only be a couple of years, but you have a moment where you can kind of take advantage of that, Dave. And I think you've seen, like, this team's been more competitive under Brett Bielema. They're far better coached. I said when they finished this staff with guys like Kevin Kane and George McDonald that I think Iowa fans would like this staff. I think they'd be pleased with the staff that Brett Bielema put together. And of course, Brett Bielema being an Iowa guy, coaching at Kansas State, coaching at Wisconsin, like that was the blueprint. Now, certain things have changed, and that's a big difference in this game is the style of offenses these two teams play. But last year, they were competitive, right? Yep. Against Iowa. And then a special teams touchdown by Charlie Jones really changed that game. Some turnovers, which is always the concern. Like, this is still a tough matchup for Illinois because Phil Parker's defense is great. Like, we talked about this before we came on the pod. Like, Wisconsin, I didn't know if they were good at anything because their defense wasn't quite as good. Their offense wasn't quite as good. Iowa's offense stinks. We all know that, whoever's listening. But their defense, just like Illinois, is one of the best in the Big Ten.
Yeah, no question. I know you and I, even going back to Big Ten media days, we were talking about Wisconsin. We're like, what really makes them stand out? They lost a lot more on paper than I think a lot of people were expecting. But no doubt, I think as crazy as it sounds, Jeremy, I think this is one of Kirk Ferentz's best defenses he's put together. I mean, they're loaded at every single position, right? So, I mean, you look at, you know, the defensive line wasn't really talked about hanging into this season. Iowa returned seven guys with over 200 snaps. Lucas Van Ness, they call him Hercules on campus. He's 6'5", 275 with a six pack. I mean, his physique's not real.
Illinois target, Barrington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very underrated guy, by the way. He should have been a much higher Power 5 prospect. It was very obvious, I think, when Sean Bach from Hawkeye Insider, you know, live scouted him a few times. He just said, look, this dude's built different. And I think he is going to – I think he still might face a legitimate NFL decision at the end of the season if he has a loaded back half of the season. Linebackers, losing Justin Jacobs was massive to this defense, but Cooper DeJean is well taken over for that cash role at cornerback. I think he's Iowa's best all-around football player. This is a guy that was actually being recruited to Virginia at quarterback. So, of course, Iowa fans, given all the offensive struggles, kind of wanted, hey, why don't we throw Cooper as a Wildcat quarterback? But Cooper being able to play safety, cornerback, and the cash position, returning Jack Campbell, who I think is one of the more – probably one of the best NFL prospects at linebacker, 6'5", 247, should not be able to move sideline to sideline as fast as he does. And then Kayvon Merriweather, you still have Riley Moss, who's had a little bit of an underwhelming year, but they're loaded at every single position. But that's why I think this is going to be a very intriguing chess match between Bielema's offense and Phil Parker's defense, because I think Chase Brown makes that team go and running the football does.
Yeah.
But Tommy DeVito has been really, really impressive to me. 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, completing 70% of his passes. There's just much more stability at quarterback. And that's kind of allowed Illinois to use some of those skill players on the outside that frankly, I think have not been able to be utilized their fullest potential due to the instability at quarterback. So I've been intrigued with what they're able to do. I think they can do more things. And I think that's what's going to make this game a lot of fun. And I know Iowa's defense can be very motivated after what happened against Michigan, because I think, again, Blake Corum is one of the best running backs in the country. And, you know, I think Iowa failed to really slow him down. They didn't give up any explosive runs, but Corum was just constantly getting 5-6 yards. And Iowa only had 3 tackles for loss on 66 plays. And that's not Iowa defense. So I'm very intrigued about, like I said, just the chess match between Illinois' offense and Iowa's defense.
I think that's where the game is, right? Because I just think it's not a fair fight, maybe, Illinois defense against the Iowa offense. We can get into that here in a second, but the thing that scares anybody about going against a Phil Parker defense is they can score. They can make big plays, game-changing plays. And what's interesting is, you know, the Illinois offense was putrid last year, especially the passing attack. But Brett Bielema makes a quick change. Like, 1 year into Tony Peterson, he decides this can't work. We're going to make a change. Barry Lunny comes in from UTSA, also coached at Arkansas. And, you know, the concepts are different. Like, the fundamentals are the same. They still want to be a physical running offense, but they want some balance to it. And Tommy DeVito certainly has brought that along with Barry Lunny. And you're just going to see more screen passes. You're going to see more shovel passes. And I do think that chess match is going to be fun because I think Iowa's defense is better than Illinois' offense is. But Illinois' offense, do they have to score 30 to win this game? Probably not, right? So
no.
Just getting some of those sustained drives and avoiding the turnovers, avoiding the catastrophic turnovers. That's what killed Illinois last year in this matchup. And it's why Iowa really probably won the Big Ten West last year, is their ability as a defense to flip plays or to flip games. But Illinois certainly is a far better offense than Iowa saw last year, but it's probably a middle of the pack offense. But given the way the Illinois defense is playing, that's all they need to be.
No question. And like you said, Illinois is trying to replicate Iowa, and that's been Iowa's formula. I mean, they want a sound defense. They want to be able to run the football, and they just need, I said this before the season, I still stand by it. If Iowa's offense could be below average, they win the Big Ten West. Like, they're not, fans aren't asking for a top 50 offense. If they have a top 80, 85 offense, Jeremy, I seriously believe this. They are probably at least 4-1, and they might have a shot at upsetting Michigan. But I knew the game was over when Iowa got down two scores. I mean, that's where it's at right now. Unless Iowa's defense recorded a pick six, that was it. And I have not updated this stat since after the Iowa State game, but I tweeted this out from Iowa State to when Iowa started 6-0 last year, the 9 or 10 games in between, right? Iowa's defense and special teams outscored Iowa's offense. Just absorb that for a second. Just, I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's a positive for Phil Parker
mean, it's crazy. He's playing offensive and defensive coordinators. And that's why I think, again, that's why Iowa fans, that's why the temperature is so hot right now. And, you know, I know a lot of people point at Spencer Petras. I think it goes far deeper than Spencer Petras right now. He's actually been pretty good.
Like, what has happened? What has happened to the Ferentz? I'm going to throw Kirk in there too. Yep. The Kirk and Brian Ferentz offense. Like, what has happened there?
So I think a couple of things to keep in mind, and I'm not trying to make excuses for Iowa, but there were times during spring, Jeremy, where Iowa only had 4 receivers practicing total, not scholarship receivers, total. And for the first 2 games, Iowa had 1 scholarship receiver healthy, and that's Arlen Bruce. Now, I think that's partially due to a failure of rebuilding your roster. And I think, again, Petras has been good the past couple of weeks. And I think getting Nico Reganey back has been a big help. Keegan Johnson, there's a lot of just rumors and buzz going about him because he's, you know, I don't think he's healthy. He missed all of spring, didn't play in the bowl game. Brody Brecht is a guy who I think is going to be good in due time. But you look at Iowa's offensive line. They have talent. They're super young. But I mean, you have all former All-Americans. You have 4-star caliber guys. Caleb Johnson, I think, is going to be one of the best running backs in the Big Ten in the next couple of years. I think he's got that size and speed combination. I don't know if you remember Sean Green, Doak Walker Award winner at Iowa. I talked to Sean last week, and Sean said Caleb Johnson, he reminds him of him. And that's pretty high praise from that. And Iowa has a couple 4-star receivers. So it's not a talent issue. It's purely an outdated scheme right now. And I think – with the way modern day college football works, I think Kirk's going to have one of the biggest off seasons of his career, because with Spencer Petras, you don't have a game breaker at quarterback. There was a span of 10 games where he threw 1 touchdown and 9 interceptions, was not benched. And we look around college football today. You mentioned Illinois making a change. Look what that's done for them. And Iowa was not aggressive in the transfer portal. And we live in an era where 47% of starting quarterbacks are transfers. And for some reason, Iowa didn't explore that option as deep as they should have. There are a couple names they're monitoring, but never really aggressively try to go after. So I think, again, Kirk's going to have to just modernize his offense. And I think it goes far deeper than Brian. I think this is Kirk's scheme. And, you know, I think the running scheme can work. But when you don't have a proven passing offense, whether it be route trees, whether it be recruiting, and a quarterback that's not mobile, that doesn't go through his options. I mean, you need to have a mobile quarterback in today's college football era. And if you look at Iowa's best teams during the Ferentz tenure, Brad Banks, 2002, Heisman runner-up, mobile quarterback. Ricky Stanzi got the job done. He could at least maneuver in the pocket, make some things happen. C.J. Beathard in 2015, he wasn't a blazer, but he can maneuver the pocket and make the big throws. And I think that's ultimately what's been wrong with Iowa. And I'll even argue that last year's offense is the same as this year's, Jeremy. But Iowa's offense was much more opportunistic last year, and they had a solid kicking game that could at least keep them in games.
So David, Illinois' defense, for Iowa fans that don't know, they're legit. Like the last calendar year, this has been one of the best defenses in the Big Ten, with a star up-and-coming coach in Ryan Walters, who might be a Power 5 head coach in a couple of years. But their front, David, is Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph. There are not a pair of defensive linemen probably playing as well as those guys. And the bad thing for Illinois is those guys might not be around next year. But Calvin Averett, nose guard, a former 4-star prospect, all those guys are very highly recruited. They are legit. And in the back end, they got a couple NFL prospects. Devin Witherspoon's one of the better corners, kind of guy you've seen at Iowa the last several years. Quan Martin at nickel, a very, very good player. And Sidney Brown looks like Troy Polamalu kind of plays like him too. So what is the best case scenario for Iowa's offense against a defense that is right now above Iowa in a lot of categories, which is crazy to say.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I think Iowa's defense is better than even the statistics indicate. I think it's simply because Iowa's defense is on the field a stupid amount of time. I mean, ridiculous, right? Iowa, I believe entering last week was 105th in time of possession. That's not Iowa football. That's never been Iowa football. That's a losing formula. And like you said, I've always respected Illinois' defense because I've always thought their physicality is arguably the best in the Big Ten. Hard hits, forcing fumble. I mean, Jake Hansen was one of my favorite players to watch in the Big Ten when he was around. I respected his game a whole lot.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I think that's something that's going to be extra emphasized this week, is Iowa's going to have to take care of the football. They're going to have to be ready to get, you know, busted up in the chops a few times. And I think this is a huge, huge test for Iowa's offensive line. I think they've continued to show growth at times. Again, I think Connor Colby is going to be a future NFL guy. I think Mason Richmond's going to make a roster. I think Logan Jones at center is ultimately going to be an NFL guy. But these are young, talented prospects that are still trying to piece things together. And Colby was all, I believe, 24/7 Sports freshman All-American last year, but he was playing guard. They moved him out to tackle. And there's just a lot of technical things he's still trying to pick up there. But like you said, I think it's going to be a very intriguing game for Iowa. I'm not putting any stock or belief in Iowa's ability to run, especially against a defense that held Braylon Allen to Wisconsin to 2 rushing yards. I think you put Alabama up against Wisconsin 1,000 times. I don't think Wisconsin gets held to 2 rushing yards. I mean, that's how much of an anomaly that game was to me. Again, I think Caleb Johnson can do some good things. But if Iowa's going to win this game, they have to protect Spencer Petras, and Iowa's going to have to try to get risky. They got to take some shots down the field. They have to try to play action.
Yeah, Sam Laporta, guy. I think the linebackers at Illinois have been solid really against the run, but I think they need to be tested in the passing game. Like, that's what I would do. I would try and find those guys in the seam. I don't think it's going to be easy as it was against Lovie Smith when they kind of sat in coverage and in cover two, but I would test those guys because I don't think the linebackers are as tested in coverage.
Another game I would keep in mind too is Luke Lachey, son of former Buckeye great Jim Lachey. He's had a breakout last couple of weeks. He had 4 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown last week against Michigan. Funny enough, you know, obviously growing up hating Michigan, I think there's a little bit of an extra edge to him there. But this is a former top 150 prospect by 24/7 Sports, uber athletic guy, can get down the field. I think he's going to be playing on Sundays in his future, especially I think when he becomes a prime focal point of Iowa's offense next year. But again, with the way Illinois plays, they play a lot of man. I think there's going to be a lot of one-on-one opportunities for Iowa. And I think Iowa's receivers need to step up to the challenge. And another name I would keep in mind, and maybe I don't want to say have a breakout game, but Iowa's going to try to target a little bit more, is Arlen Bruce. And that was the one receiver that's been available all scholarship receiver that's been available all year, has been very, very quiet and not as targeted over the past couple of weeks after getting off to a pretty good start in his first couple of games. I think he's one of Iowa's best playmakers. I think he can make things happen in space. They can utilize him in jet sweep and in motion to try to throw off the defense, which Iowa scheme's not complicated. Like, let's not be real. You're not throwing off anybody, but Arlen can make things happen in open space. And I would expect Iowa to at least try to get him involved a little bit more.
The matchup I can't wait for is potentially the Butkus Award winner, Campbell, against potentially the Doak Walker Award winner, yep, Chase Brown. I mean, if you're the Big Ten Network, you're going to be building up that matchup, right? Like, what do you think of that?
I love it. And again, I think Jack Campbell's been really disappointed with last week's performance against Michigan, because I think Campbell wanted to hit the gaps a lot quicker than he did. So again, you talk about Chase Brown, who, again, I've been incredibly impressed with his skill set. And I've always said, if he played on a team that's not named Illinois, he would have been better than a third team all Big Ten back, in my opinion, last year. I think he's that dynamic. I'm very excited for it. I'm very excited for the physicality between Illinois' O-line and Iowa's defensive line. Because again, I think Iowa's defensive line's got some dogs. I think they've done a good job at sealing the edge, but I do think it's very interesting to me that the way Michigan approached it, they ran a lot more in between the tackles than I thought they would. I thought they would try to utilize the speed on the outside a lot more, but I think that also gives testament to Iowa's edge rushers as far as sealing and containing the edge. I think John Wagoner has been a guy, he was a former four-star by 24/7 Sports, really has had, I don't want to say a slow start to his career, but he's really pieced it together in his final season. But he's a guy who I think is among the Big Ten's best at containing that edge. So I'm very, again, the chess match between Bielema's offense and Phil Parker's defense. I think Bielema's going to throw a couple tricks in there as well, because you talk about the momentum of the program, beating your alma mater, and getting just, I think, an Iowa curse that's kind of been looming over the heads of Illinois football fans over the last few years, again, especially considering the way they kind of lost those games. Yeah. So I expect, you know, everything to be thrown against the wall in this game for both teams.
If you're an Iowa fan, I think the one edge you have to exploit is special teams. You mentioned it before, David, but Illinois had maybe its best punter ever. Blake Hayes is gone. A kicker, James McCord, who's on a practice squad in the NFL, he's gone. And they've had real inconsistency in the punting game and the kicking game. And their starting kicker, Caleb Griffin, couldn't even kick off the other day because he had some kind of injury that limits him. He still kicked field goals and made a 42-yarder. But he's been a little bit limited, and that could affect some play calling. 3 points in this game could make a big difference. 6 points in this game could make a big difference. And we know how good Torrey Taylor is. The Aussie thing, we all know here at Illinois because of Blake Hayes.
Yep.
And they've just been so strong in special teams that, you know, for once, first time in probably about 3 or 4 years, special teams is a weakness and a concern for Illinois.
I think something, yeah, I like how you brought that up. And I mean, I've said LeVar Woods probably could have been a head coach by now. I think what he's done with Iowa special teams, it's unbelievable. And the fact is, this is an underrated part. I feel like some other teams don't understand is LeVar Woods' passion for special teams is why Iowa's been so effective in it. And I think you can go back to earlier in the year, just the way he schemes up certain punt coverages, kickoff coverages. Keep in mind, Lucas Van Ness, who I brought up earlier, he blocked 2 punts earlier this season. And that was a play that they just drew up in practice because they saw an exploitation in just the way that the team was punt blocking for punt protecting. So I'm expecting LeVar Woods to throw in a couple wrinkles with that. And I expect Iowa to go all out. And like you said, a blocked punt's not going to surprise me. I think Iowa's kickoff, obviously losing Charlie Jones hurts in more ways than one. Now that, you know, Iowa fans are seeing what he's doing at Purdue, they're not exactly thrilled with what's going on in Iowa's passing game. But like you mentioned, I think it's a big edge for Iowa. I think Torrey Taylor is the best punter in the country. And he literally, I would argue from last season, Jeremy, he could have been Iowa's MVP through the first 6 games. I mean, that's how dynamic and how game-changing he was. And that's how big he's been this year. I also consider him almost like a 12th defender on the football field because, again, Iowa got 2 safeties against South Dakota State in what was the most painful game to watch. Like, I feel bad for everybody that was there. I was being paid to be there, and I didn't even want to be there. I mean, that's how bad it was. But Torrey is, I think, the best coffin kicker in the country. And if they get put Illinois in some of those situations, Iowa's going to go all out and, you know, put up points on the board. And that's how Iowa, it's almost as effective as their offense at this point, right?
Yeah, punter MVP discussion. I remember that with Blake Hayes for most of his career. Any other nuggets or any kind of keys to the game that you're looking at that might go under the radar here, David?
You know, I wouldn't say under the radar. I just think both defenses are going to have the same outlook. Stop the run and make the quarterback beat him. Again, I think DeVito's proven he's much more capable of that this season than Spencer. But I also think, look, people argue that Iowa's offense showed progress last week because they look at the stats. They look at, oh, they scored a couple of touchdowns. I call them fluff stats. When the game mattered and the game was in session, Iowa had 98 yards and they were down by 20. That's the way I look at it. And then, you know, credit Spencer Petras. He got hot, complete 11 of 14 passing. I think when Iowa felt urgency, I think that's when their offense was at their best. So does that momentum carry over into an actual legitimate must-win game? I don't know that, but I expect both teams to sell out the run, make the quarterbacks beat them. And it's going to be one in between the lines. Can Illinois' rushing attack run against Iowa's defense? If that answer is yes, I think that's the way the game's going to go.
I'm wondering, get your opinion here, because I feel like if this game, if Illinois wins this, right, like it is an arrival moment for them. But if Iowa loses this, like Joey Wagner looked at me and said, what with Wisconsin firing Paul Christ, Is Iowa starting to feel that way? Like, I know Kirk is entrenched there. He's one of the best coaches ever there, along with Hayden Fry. But what is the temperature there if they lose this game?
I think it's an interesting question. I think you have to people need to take a step back and evaluate the full body of work, which is going to frustrate people in the moment. But Iowa's recruiting at an all-time high level. They're recruiting better and better every single year. I mean, they're the number one offensive tackle coming in next year, which I think will provide immediate help. They got Xavier Wampa, number one safety. I know they're in-state guys that could win everywhere. Iowa's recruiting more talent than they've had before. Iowa's won games. I mean, I think they're in the top 10 in the country over the past 6 years in overall wins, at least among Power 5 teams. I think that speaks for itself. Still putting players in the NFL. I think there's going to be a boiling temperature for Kirk to make some offensive changes.
Yeah.
In terms of firing maybe a coach or two. Now, who do they fire? I don't know. I think Kelton Copeland's been a good wide receivers coach. Iowa's tight end tradition speaks for itself. I think George Barnett, I think people need to give him one more year because he's bringing in a lot of talent and he's a proven offensive line coach. Liddell Betts, I think, has done a nice job with the running backs. I mean, I know everybody's going to point to Brian, but I think we both know how that's going to go. But with Gary Barda, I mean, if you look at Iowa's major four sports, brands, Lisa Bluter for women's basketball, Fran McCaffrey, and Kirk, these are all longtime tenured coaches, and they don't have any plans on going anywhere. But like you said, it does raise an interesting question, and I might be able to take it more seriously if Kirk didn't sign an extension
right
just prior to Iowa's bowl game last year. I believe takes him through 2029. So – and the buyouts.
I don't want this. I don't want Iowa fans to listen to this and be like, is he suggesting?
No. It's not a fair question.
It's just because Wisconsin making that move was so shocking, David. That it's like this program that has been stability, right? Yep. Iowa and Wisconsin are stable programs. The fact that they fired a successful two-time Big Ten coach of the year, I understand why it happened.
Yep.
I just thought end of the year it would happen if they go 7-5, 6-6. I didn't expect it 5 games in, and just all the changes in college athletics with NIL and expansion. It just seems like there's more urgency and quick trigger to all of this.
No, I feel like the NCAA and just the way everything is going has been, it's just a complete overcorrection. I think it's going to be very gray for the next couple of years before it kind of mellows out. We get back to what is probably the correct way to go about it. But a couple of things I would mention about the Kirk thing, and I hope people don't take it that way either, because I didn't take it that way. I mean, I was not contemplating firing Kirk.
No.
Get that out in the clear. But I look back to remember what happened after Iowa got rid of Dr. Tom Davis for the basketball program, right? You got Steve Alford, and, you know, I know the name's cursed. Mm-hmm. And then we saw what happened before Fran McCaffrey got there. And there's a fear of going back to that bad level. For, you know, and I think that's why when you see Iowa's athletic department and the coaches, that's why they keep extending them, is they don't want to make that mistake. And the other thing I would point to, look what happened in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin's a better job than Nebraska. Would you have said that 20 years ago? I don't think anybody in the right mind was to that 20 years ago, right? And if you look at Paul Chryst's record with Bo Pelini's, Jeremy, they're about identical.
Right.
Now, I'm not suggesting that Wisconsin's going down where Nebraska's going.
But look, they're vulnerable now.
But they're vulnerable. And this is a critical juncture with the ever-changing landscape of college football, as you just mentioned. This next hire, you talk about the long-term future, which is why they said they fired Chryst, right? Yeah. Talk about long-term future. This is going to be an incredibly critical hire for the Wisconsin football program. And I would argue for Nebraska, because I've long said if Frost can bring him back, nobody can bring him back. Now, knowing what I know about Frost, I don't really believe that now after we've watched what happened with his tenure. I think Mickey Joseph could take that job. And look, people are going to laugh at me when I say this, Jeremy. Nebraska is just as much of a threat in the West as anybody.
Well, they are, because they have the resources and NIL, nobody could do better. They need a good coach, though. Like, the Mickey Joseph thing just does not make – go get Lance Leipold.
It's idiotic if they don't. Look what he's on Kansas. We live in an era, Jeremy, where Kansas football got resurge of Kansas football before Nebraska.
Yes. Because it's a good coach.
It's crazy.
Program building coach. Like, those things still matter. I think you're seeing it now at Illinois. No matter what people think about PJ Fleck, you got to give him his due at this point with how he's been able to build it. So that's the model. That's the model of what you can do. And then if you want more, eventually you go get more. But yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's got to nail this higher, because, I mean, we're young enough, David, might not look it anymore, but like, we're young enough that we don't remember Wisconsin being terrible. They were terrible before Barry Alvarez got there. And it's Nebraska showing. Like, everyone keeps picking Nebraska to finish high in the Big Ten West, and I keep picking them seventh.
What did you pick them? Did you pick them last year? I think I did too.
Because everyone was like, oh, these transfers are all going to work out, the new coaching staff. And I said, that's also a recipe for disaster. All these mercenaries coming together for one season with their coach on the hot list or hot seat. If they lose a game or two they're not supposed to, that's all going to fall apart.
No question. And
I don't get these right very often, but I've seen it. I've seen it before, where all these like transfers, all these quick fixes, it's not usually the way to go, man.
And to the counterpoint of you saying we don't remember Wisconsin being bad, we don't remember Nebraska being good. Maybe outside 2009.
Pelini, they had him, you know, they're good.
Now, I was going to say, this generation of recruits don't remember Nebraska being good.
No.
And I know, you know, Nebraska fans, if any of them listen to this, like, I'm going to get trounced for this. But they don't remember him being good. And I think the way Trev Alberts has operated, I'm not sleeping on Nebraska, because Trev Alberts has said, we need to forget what we've done. Like, nobody cares what we did 30 years ago.
But also, Trev Alberts just wasted a year.
Oh, no question.
He didn't save any money.
Everybody knew Frost should have been gone at the end of last year, right? I mean, that's
But I thought it was all to save money. He didn't save any money.
I tell you what, though, that did make a ripple effect, I think, with saying we don't care about the buyout. We're not going to wait 2 weeks to do it. So I think it sent a strong message, but I don't know. But you want me to throw my prediction on here, Jeremy, to cap this thing off?
If you want to. I mean, I have 2013 Illinois. I think Illinois is going to strain offensively, because Iowa's really good. I think Iowa could have a turnover that, hey, early in the game, they have some momentum. I just don't believe in the Iowa offense, and I believe a lot in the Illinois defense. So I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be far more competitive than Wisconsin was. And I think Illinois is going to face some adversity. But based on the five games I've seen of both these teams, and I've tried to watch a lot of Iowa, Illinois is the better. I think most of Iowa fans that have watched Illinois would probably agree with that.
Yeah. Again, I don't think I don't think Illinois fans hate me after my prediction, Jeremy. Who would have thought that? You didn't
make enemies like Michael Hogan.
Shout, Michael. I can't believe in Iowa's offense. There's nothing I can say that makes me believe. You can't look at any statistic or any scheme that's going to make me believe in them. And as I wrote in the VIP piece for your site, I usually have a philosophy of, if a team has a long losing streak against a certain team, I will not pick them. I think there's a mental psychological component to it that's not talked about enough. And I mean, you even saw it in Iowa State did everything to lose that game. Like, honestly, neither team deserved to win that game. That was a horrible football game. So I have Illinois 24-13. I think Iowa's defense is certainly good enough to hold Illinois under that. I think Iowa can create turnovers, but even in short field position, Iowa has not been able to put points on the board. And against an Illinois defense, I think defense is going to, if Iowa wants to win this game, they have to score on special teams or defense. And yeah. And if you're talking about 130 other teams and not Iowa, that sounds ludicrous. But because we're talking about Iowa and how many points they can put up on special teams and defense, it really is, Jeremy, their best offense at this point.
Yeah, and I have enough confidence on like last year with Illinois, which Illinois did have, 23 against Iowa in that game. But like I have enough confidence. Yeah. I have enough confidence in this offense to have like 5 or 6 chances to score. Like that's not to say they're going to have 400 yards, but I think they're going to have 5 or 6 drives where they get in Iowa territory and have a chance to score. And I think they've shown enough and have enough playmakers with like, Pat Bryant, Tommy DeVito and Chase Brown. Yep. That they'll find a way to get in the end zone once or twice.
Again, with Bielema's system, time possession is huge. And I think as conditioned and as great as Iowa's defense is, if they're on the field 40 minutes a game, like nobody can blame them if they give up 300 yards and 20 points. And if they only hold them to that while being on the field for 40 minutes,
it's good enough to win.
It's crazy to me. It's crazy.
David Eichel, Hawkeye Insider, Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher. Great always catching up with you, David.
I appreciate it, Jeremy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.